First off, you pray that the voice holds up and I don't get into a coughing jag up here. And the second thing is that the voice actually has something to say. That would be good. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that as we look at the journey of Mary to Bethlehem, that we would think about our own road of life and our journey in life and what that means as well. I pray that you would bring these words to life, and I pray that you let the voice hold up in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if I'm having a relapse from last week or not, but I titled this The Road to Bedlam, from Bedlam to Bethlehem, and I thought about that word Bedlam. It means confusion and chaos, but do you know where the word came from? I looked it up because I said, I want to know where this comes from. It was an insane asylum in London, Bedlam. So I want to talk to you about a road of confusion to a place of focus. Have you ever experienced this kind of thing in your life? Or maybe it's right now. Things will be going along just great, and then suddenly something happens to cause all kinds of terrible things that turn our attitudes sour. You know, it may be nothing's basically wrong, but you can't even call it evil that Satan designed to cause you trouble. It's just the nitty-gritty of something extra that gets thrown at you. And surely some of you can recognize that happening in your life. And I have a tendency to see this happen in people's lives, especially at this time of year. The pressure of something extra in your life, and you say to yourself, I sure don't need this right now. And this is where this text in chapter 2 of Luke begins. It begins with a very practical point. Now, we've read this passage so often over the years that we may not pick up on a couple things, so I'd like for us just to read it. This is actually from the King James Version, and there's a reason that I choose that version for this particular text. So let's read it together. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, we've heard that story a lot. The story of the birth of Jesus is repeated so frequently in the pageantry of Christmas and in our own private devotional practices, so that when we read this passage, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, we might miss a couple of things. The first thing is that you're dealing with a historical point of reference here that establishes the authenticity of the event in the context of human history. The story does not begin once upon a time. We are not dealing with a legend or a myth. We're dealing with history. And Luke is one of the historically precise writers of the ancient world. Whatever else people may believe about the Bible, there's one thing they cannot do with it, and that is to reject the historical authenticity. And there's more classic point of reference than right here in the Gospel of Luke. Luke was very attentive to the historical detail. It is a matter of truth that the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts are historically authentic and accurate, but it was not until about 100 years ago or so that a massive group of papyrus scrolls were found in Egypt, which was under Roman subjugation at the time, also verified this global taxation. In fact, because of the discovery of these scrolls, they found out that this was the first time that such a dimension of taxation had taken place in the entire Roman Empire. The census that took place on this occasion was the first of what began to be a cycle every 14 years for a couple hundred years. A census for the purpose of taxation in every part of the Roman Empire. All the subjects, the subjugated masses of all the inhabited world of that day, the massive census program was for the purpose of extending the control of the Roman rule everywhere in the ancient world. And this census that was set in motion and established for the first time at this dimension took place for the next 200 years. 14-year intervals. And when it was going to be a burden on the people. This is the historical fact. And Luke records it. It has also been verified in the last 100 years or so. The reason that this is not just a sideline here in terms of academic analysis, it's to talk about the fact that Luke wanted to communicate something here. He said, I want you to know about something that happened in the real world where people are oppressed, where people get taxed. Not only taxed in the sense of having to pay a tribute or duty, but taxed in the sense of stress and strain and weariness. And in the midst of that taxation program, a new dimension, the Roman Empire, that reached from the Euphrates River and valley over to present-day Iraq and Iran, reached north to the Black Sea, which was to become the Byzantine Empire, up towards present-day Russia, over the mountains into Central Europe, all around the Atlantic, up into England, all across North Africa, down into the south of Egypt, all the world, the Roman Empire, faced a new taxation process. Now, the significance of that today is that the scripture introduces us to that report and the narrative of the birth of Jesus by saying it happened in the real world. One phrase jumped out at me, that all the world should be taxed. Now, taxed is not used in the Revised Standard Version or in a lot of these versions, but it is used here in the King James Version, taxed. And you know that term taxing or taxed. When I read it here in the King James Version is what triggered me. You know the phrase that all the world should be taxed is what spoke to me. There's a couple phrases in this scripture. This is the first one. Before we get to the second phrase, I want to think through the implications of that taxing time. No sooner than when we are told about the tax, we are told that Joseph and Mary have to go to Bethlehem because of it. And this taxation or enrollment requires everybody to return to the town of their ancestors, and it wasn't a matter of census as we think about it here in the United States. Next year, we're going to get an envelope sent to our homes with a packet of material, and you're asked to fill it out at your convenience and mail it back by a certain date. You usually have plenty of time to do this. And you do it under your own advisement, and if it doesn't get turned in, then somebody will come and talk to you at your house. This census here is a lot more heavy-handed. A tremendous difference from what we have to do. This has to do with you having to travel to where your family came from. And you have to be there in person. Joseph and Mary did not simply go to Bethlehem because both of them were married. They went to Bethlehem because both of them were from there, and not just Joseph. It was where they had to go, and it was about 100 miles south of where they lived in Nazareth. And Mary is pregnant. And I try to think about this and imagine this in real life and take it out of stained glass, the day that Joseph comes home after he's seen a sign and heard the public announcement in the town square of Nazareth or whatever, and in my imagination, I see him walking into a very simple living room, and Joseph walks in, and you see a man takes off his cloak, and he sits down, and he's a little bit hesitant to tell Mary about this. And then he does. Honey, they made an announcement today from the Roman government. There's going to be a census, and we have to get registered. It looks like we're going to have to go back to Bethlehem because you have to register in your hometown. And in my imagination, I see Mary working, getting dinner ready or whatever, and she has her back to him at the moment. And she reaches around at the shelves, and she's working on things here and there. And she turns around and says, well, when will this be? And she's just turning away from him to go about her business, and there comes this simple answer. It has to happen right now. And she says, surely we can wait until the baby comes. And then he breaks the news to her that the particular date that has been given to them by the Roman government, which views them now not as citizens as we think of ourselves, being in a system where we are accustomed to taxation and census, but a system where they are a conquered people, and the oppressor calls the shots, and you have no alternative. There's no court of appeal here. And if you're not a Roman citizen, and there's no senator to write to, Mary, we have to leave in just a couple of days. Well, honey, the baby's due in 2 weeks. And he says there's nothing we can do about it. And we're so used to looking at Christmas cards where we see that beautiful flowing mountainside and palm trees and the rivers and the star up in the sky. And there's this couple who are going as a lady beautifully bedecked, riding side saddle on a little donkey. And her husband is leading the donkey, and it's kind of like a noble picture and a pace. And so we're used to that scene. And it's very difficult for us to imagine really the agony and the inconvenience, the complexity of that trip with a woman who is 8.5 months pregnant. I wish somebody would do a Christmas card with a lady sweaty on a hot day of the journey, going south and pregnant as all get out. Now, going south sounds like it's downhill, but it's not. It's uphill to Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is 6 miles south of Jerusalem. And as they're making their way southward constantly on the ascent, there she is, and she has her stringy hair and perspiration and aching back over an active bladder on a donkey. And I can see times when she just kind of gets off that donkey and she rubs her lower back and stands there with this big lump in front of her. And the last thing she needs is this trip. And you wonder what went on in the conversations that she had with Joseph. And you wonder what went on in her mind at this time. You wonder if Mary put the food in front of Joseph after he'd come home for dinner, and she says, I don't think I'm going to eat tonight, honey. And she's sitting over there. She knows that she's not angry at him. And she goes in and she sits down. She leans back on the bed and thinks thoughts like this. Why? Why do things happen at the times that they happen? And can you imagine her imagination and say, God, I was just down in that area. And if you think about it, I want you to recall that she had been down there with Elizabeth for several months until the birth of John the Baptist. She had been down there, and you can imagine saying, you know, I just came back from there. And now I got to turn right around and go back down there. Now, I don't know if you've ever wondered about this kind of stuff in your thing, but this is where you say, you know, am I really being led by the Holy Spirit? If I was really being led by the Holy Spirit, things should synchronize a little bit more smoothly. I mean, I think things would work together better. And Mary could have thought to herself, you know, the same angel told me to go down there and see Elizabeth. That angel could have told me about the time I was getting ready to come home that, hey, you're going to have to come back down here in just a little while, so you're going to be a lot bigger than you are right now, honey. So you might as well stay down here and rest. Have to make a 100-mile trip twice for no reason. And there comes this sense of protest. I thought this was God inside of me. You know, if God is inside me, why do I have to do what Rome says? And I'm sure that she didn't say that to Joseph when he said that we're going to Bethlehem. I can just imagine, oh, well, what a super trip. I can say, and just before Christmas, too, with our relatives. I suppose there's an alternative thought that might have confronted them at one point or another in this. Can you imagine them making this trip on the way to Bethlehem? And you can count on the fact that they, on the way to Bethlehem, they probably stopped at Zechariah and Elizabeth's house, place. They doubtless stopped there on the way because it was on the way. And it would have been a natural place to stop. And there was family and relatives. There was a place to stop on the route. And you can imagine them getting there and saying something like that, boy, I tell you, this has to come at the worst possible time that you can imagine. Now remember that of all the people in the land, the only people who shared the secret of that baby that is inside of Mary would have been Elizabeth and Zechariah. They knew about the baby. Can you imagine Zechariah? He whips out a scroll here at this time. He said, now, wait a minute. Before you complain too much about this trip, I want to show you a scripture. And surely you have noticed, Mary. And she said, notice what? Well, the reason that God is taking you to Bethlehem is because that's where the Messiah is supposed to be born. It's a fact that the Lord, in a beautiful and sovereign way, he's fulfilling the prophecy in this event. I want you to know, I really doubt that Mary and Joseph noticed this. And I have no reason to think that Zechariah actually pointed it out to them, but if you would just allow me that imagination. And Zechariah said, oh, listen, let there not be any weariness or frustration with this. I know it's a tough trip, but God is working his purpose out in you. Let me show you this in Scripture. Have you ever had anybody do that to you? I try not to do that with people. So they're going to point out the Scripture to you while you're in that mess that you're in or whatever's going on. And I can just hear Mary, and he's just, all I know is my back hurts and I have to pee all the time. And you know, the babe is to be born in Bethlehem. And I think Mary said, I don't care if it's booty the way I feel. And we come to the place where all the scripture quoted to you in the world, as ultimately as it will come to your heart that it's right and you do believe it, it doesn't make you feel any better right now. And I'm not talking about unbelief here either. I'm just talking about human reality. I'm not talking about denying the scriptures. In fact, I'm not talking about accepting them. But it doesn't change the feelings that we have in these kinds of situations. Why doesn't God just keep me down there in Bethlehem? I mean, if God's inside of me, why does this kind of thing have to happen to me? I know it's scriptural, but that's great. But I've got to tell you, this is a tough time. And this whole setting says some very powerful things to me. That all the world should be taxed. What went through my mind was that at the exact time that the world was calculating new dimensions of exacting more of every one of its citizens and its those who are oppressed by them, and it was becoming more careful and skillful in structuring all of that, God says, that's the last straw. Now I'm going to send my son. And I saw something in that that just kind of speaks to me. How God is watching the things that tax you and tax me. And God says it may put you in circumstances over which you have no power. But working in it all, I've got something that's going to bring you to an appointed place and time in your life. And I think you people are spiritually perceptive enough to pick up on that kind of reality without me elaborating on it a lot. That he brings us to appointed times, and a lot of times those circumstances are not much fun. The second thing about this text right here is in verse 6. Verse 1 says that all the world should be taxed or enrolled for census taking for the purpose of taxation. In verse 6 it says, and while they were there, where they had to go because of a taxing situation, the time came for her to be delivered. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And somehow I see in that statement a lot more than just saying this is the day that the baby is supposed to be born. I see something of the Lord saying to all of us, it may have been a long road that is dictated by circumstance and powers that you seem to have no control over. But when I get you there, I want to tell you the time of your deliverance is appointed. The time of the breakthrough of my purpose in you is appointed. The time of breakthrough of God's purpose for you, that the day should be completed. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, and I have it printed, if you would read it with me. But when the time had fully come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, and wrapped in that place, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. There is also that all-encompassing thing that God fits all the pieces together to bring together his time for your Bethlehem or my Bethlehem. From Bedlam to Bethlehem. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you help each of us to see what you drive us to. And on our journey in life, those times when we are in circumstances that really can make things sour for us, how you are bringing us to a place where we are delivered, and it's an appointed place. In Jesus' name, amen.